Okay, we will now convene the November 14, 2017 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate proceedings. At the outset, I reviewed the minutes of our October 10, 2017 meeting and approved them. I've also reviewed the minutes of our Fiketoberfest 2017 Master Plan Appeal and approved them as well. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Other than those cases that I see is now coming into compliance on the agenda, is there anything else?
Yes, sir. There's one case that. Yes, there's one case that is in compliance that's not reflected on the agenda on page 6, number 24. For 449 Tuscany Chase Drive, that was compliance November 9th. And if you could point the microphone closer to me, that would be helpful.
Sure.
Thank you.
No problem.
And I believe that's all the announcements that we have.
Did you perchance give me the special magistrate meeting dates for 2018 yet?
I may not have, but I do have it.
Well, then I'll just let you hang on to it, and if we need them, then I'll let you know.
Okay.
Or do you have?
Oh, yeah, I got plenty of them.
Let me get that here. All right. With that, we'll proceed to our first case. This is a lien review. George Stafford II and Marjorie Stafford. Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you please state your name and be sworn?
My name is Alicia Thomas, a representative of Samuel Ferguson.
Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'm sorry, who are you again?
Alicia Thomas. She has the authorization.
Yes, she's here on behalf of the new owner, Samuel Ferguson.
Gotcha. Very good.
The Staffords are no longer in the picture.
All right. And if you would please go ahead and explain to me why we should be reviewing this lien and considering modifying it in any way.
For a couple of reasons. One, the Staffords, from my understanding, they're the early 20-year-old children, basically. They inherited this property from a great-grandmother. When they inherited it, they were already still teenagers. So, of course, they had no understanding, and they haven't actually lived on the property, have no understanding of maintaining any real estate ever, basically. So family members took over the property, did whatever they wanted to do, and it's been abandoned since then. Mr. Ferguson is now looking to bring an affordable housing opportunity to the neighborhood. There were several liens on the property. All of them have been paid or brought into compliance. Just trying to get some relief on this one.
And what are the plans for the property now?
Hopefully, once we get this cleared up, we can bring it back livable, because right now it's not. He's determining if he's going to live in it or allow basically use of affordable rental opportunity. He's partnering with the nonprofit Central Florida Community Development.
This is Samuel Ferguson we're talking about?
Yes, sir.
All right, what say the city?
Good morning, Mr. Kelch. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city. The city's position on this, Mr. Kelch, just as you said, the prior property owners, I don't know what their age group was, but they, this lien ultimately was imposed, as you saw, $50 per day. So relatively small lien because it was an easy remedy. It was removal of cars, and they just didn't do it. And it lasted a good period of time. The position of the city is pretty much our standard position. We're requesting a 20% reduction to 20% of the lien, which is $2,000. So it was quite a bit of work on it relating to the prior owners as far as just back and forth and trying to resolve. But other than that, it's just time. It was there long. The remedy took a long time. How long it actually sat there?
Okay. All right. The city's suggesting I should reduce this to $2,000. What say you to that?
We'll accept that. You say thank you.
Well, then I'm not going to. Sounds like a plan. All right. Then, based on the city's very gracious reduction and the respondent's acceptance of that, with that, I'll go ahead and reduce the amount of the fine and lien to the sum of $2,000. And that's subject to being paid within 30 days. If you run into trouble on that, get with your city attorney, and I'm sure he'll be happy to work with you on that. But if this isn't, but if the $2,000 isn't ultimately paid or what have you, then the original fine amount remains in place.
I understand.
Very good. Good luck to you. Lien review number two. Amazing Grace ARNP Solo 401k Trust. Care of Grace Pedersen as trustee. Anyone here for the respondent? Okay, I guess that lien review has been denied. Lien review number three, Joseph and Barbara Daly. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Joseph Daly.
If you raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
And Mr. Daly, what is the basis of your request that I should review this lien?
You won't remember, but I was here last year. I had the tenant from hell. And he refused to do anything the city wanted him to do, specifically parking on his lawn, parking on the lawn. And he refused to let an inspection done. He felt that the city inspecting this property violated his constitutional rights to privacy. I had a chat with him, and I told him, listen, you got to do what the city wants. You can't park on the grass, and you got to let the city inspect the property so I can get a rental license. He agreed to do it. And then he stopped paying rent. So in September, I filed for eviction. I had another talk with him. He still parked on the lawn, I guess, because it was a repeat code violation. Long story short, he is gone as of November. There's new tenants there. There's been no problems with this property since he left. He just felt that the city was harassing him. I didn't know. I thought when you mail a license, I thought it was renewed. The license is separate from the parking. The parking problem is resolved. The tenant is gone. But when I found out that the license wasn't issued because the city never inspected the property, I immediately got with the city. I don't remember who the inspector was. It wasn't John. It was another gentleman. He came out to the property. The property passed in 5 minutes. This property's got a new roof, new windows. It's earmarked to be painted, gutters installed. It's one of the nicer houses on the block. The point being, I'm not a slumlord. I take care of my properties. This is my retirement income. So, in lieu of that, I'm hoping that you'll be considerate and waive this fine or make it something that I can afford to pay.
Okay. What say the city?
Mr. Calder, this this again, just as the respondent has indicated, it was a difficult case for the owner as there was a tenant problem. However, as he indicates also in his information and his application, the eviction was in November. It was probably it accrued about $9,000 by the time he actually resolved it. And again, he explains that with saying that he did not realize the need to get the reinspection. The city's request is for a reduction to $1,000, understanding the total circumstances and the efforts that were being made by the owner, even though we had an extremely difficult tenant. So the request of the city is $1,000 fine.
Okay, what say the respondent to that?
It's going to strap me. The only reason that I found out about all of this was my wife had surgery. We didn't have medical insurance. We decided to sell a house in Ormond Beach.
With all due respect, let's go back and talk about the tenant. Okay. What I've heard so far in the way of an excuse is the tenant from hell. I believe
Correct.
That's what you called him.
And I told you
And apparently later. The city recognizes that you had a tenant issue. So how long in this whole process did the tenant delay you?
The repeat violation, I believe it was in September, and I sent them an eviction notice in September. So I acted immediately.
All right, I'm going to order that the fine be reduced to the sum of $500, subject to being paid within 30 days.
Thank you, sir.
If you have trouble paying that within the time allotted, get together with the city attorney and he'll work with you.
No problem.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
No problem. Lien review number four, 509 Seabreeze Boulevard, Deep Lounge Incorporated, and another Plan B Incorporated. Morning.
Can you say your name, please?
Brian Mills.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
And your affiliation with 509 Seabreeze Boulevard, Deep Lounge Incorporated, and another Plan B Incorporated?
I am a managing partner of another Plan B.
Okay. Very good. And it appears as though you have a lien in the amount of $12,035 emanating from an order imposing fine of $250 per day commencing July, or the order entered July 13, 2012. All right, so what's the basis for your request for any lien relief?
We were given the violations on January 2013. We came into compliance end of that year, August, I believe. We sought out legal counsel, and we're informed by that counsel, along with the paperwork for the compliance, that we're in compliance with everything, and we're unaware of the fines associated with it. We only became aware of the fines this year when Mr. Al...
Hold on, sir. You need to be sworn and state your name, please, if you're going to testify. What's your name, sir?
My name is Edward Adams, and I represent Deep Lounge Incorporated.
Okay. Raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
When he notified us that they were attempting to make payments on the billing, and they couldn't do so because of the lien and fine on there. So this is the first that we're aware of it this month, or previous month, where we were notified by Mr. Edwards.
Okay, so I'm confused. So you just didn't know there was an order out there accruing?
Correct.
At $250 a day?
Correct.
Going back 5 years?
Yes.
And you discovered it when?
It was about 2 months ago when we got in contact, when Mr. Edwards tried to make a payment on the building, or I'm not sure.
Well, I apologize. We were going to pay off the note on the building, and I got with the closing attorney and told them that we wanted to be free and clear because we were going to borrow some money to do some improvements on the building. He then notified us that he saw an outstanding lien. I got in touch with the city to find out what that involved. At that time, they said that there had been an outstanding judgment due to a matter, which I got in touch with Brian because I recall the incident and had notified them that they had to comply. They had hired counsel to walk them through the process, and as far as we were notified by their attorney, they had complied and everything was taken care of.
Who is the they you keep referring to?
They being another Plan B and Brian as the managing partner.
If I may, are you saying this is owner and tenant? You're owner and they're the tenants. Okay. And the tenants were once before.
And y'all were the same owners and tenants back in 2012?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Let's say the city.
Ms. Lakelja, you probably remember this. I remember this quite well. This was a very contested proceeding regarding whether or not they were serving food or whether they were a bar or restaurant. There was an ultimate ruling and a determination that they had to come into compliance, and they didn't come into compliance, and the fine was imposed. We came back several times. It was a long case, about 7 months or so. They were represented by Mr. Hood. He had become a member of the legislature, and he was filing.
I'm sorry, represented by whom?
Mr. Hood, David Hood. And he was a member of the legislature, and he was filing these continuances based on his legislative session. And ultimately, the time ran out. This was too frequent, and the city was being prejudiced because we were coming upon major events. And so they were fine. And the only... So what they're saying is understandable. However, at the same point, they are a commercial business, and you think that they'd follow up, even though I know very well may have been that they had some miscommunication from the attorney, that they would have followed up and know that they had to take care of something more, even with the compliance, that they had other things to take care of because of what occurred through the process of the meetings. So they had an outstanding fine. It ran, and as you see, and so it accrued to the $12,000. The city is willing to reduce the lien, nevertheless, to the amount of $2,500 based on the recommendation of the inspector. And so that's the request, reduction to $2,500.
What say the respondent to that?
We'll accept that just to get this over with.
I'd say.
Thank you.
Good decision. All right. Hang on, gentlemen. I'm going to go ahead and order that the amount of the fine and lien be reduced to the sum of $2,500. That's subject to being paid within 30 days. And if you have difficulty meeting that deadline, get together with the city attorney and he'll work with you. All right. Good luck to you. You guys in your pre-Christmas mode here or something? Wow.
Mr. Lakelja, I don't know if you want to try to see if lien review number two has arrived.
All right. Is anyone here from Amazing Grace ARNP Solo 401K Trust? Care of Grace Pedersen as trustee. If you'll remind me a time or two, I'll ask a couple times before we leave today.
Thank you. I don't know why he's not here.
All right. Now returning to our cases. Case number one, Firma Family Land Trust. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Just a moment. Mr. Lakelja, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector in the case is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy, at one point, had an indication of wanting to impose a fine. He since has met with the property manager, and he determined that the property manager is working on getting this violations resolved, and so he's asking for next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance.
All right. Well, then, based upon the city's presentation, we will amend our current amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent to come into compliance by December 6, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number two, Anthony M. Taco.
state your name, please.
Anthony Tilson.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the
yes,
truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. Let's hear from the city.
Ms. McKelvey, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Juan Davis. Also, witness as to violations is Tom Clegg. The inspector indicates that the property remains in noncompliance and is asking for a $200 a day fine to a maximum of $10,000, it looks like I have there. And I will attend to Mr. Clegg if you have any questions.
All right, did you say $200 a day fine?
$200 a day fine to a maximum of $10,000.
Yes, sir. All right, call whatever witnesses you want.
All right.
Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file. I was at his property numerous times, too. The violations still occur. The vehicle was unlicensed and not runnable. The fence was down on the west side of the property. His south windows were busted out in the front, and Officer Davis took over the case from me. And I've been out there a couple times. No, I haven't been out this week.
Well, I'm saying that fits.
Okay, dilapidated fence, inoperable and unlicensed vehicle. So we still, hang on a second.
I'm sorry.
Inspector? So the fence is still an issue?
The fence was an issue. He's telling me that it's been fixed, but I haven't been out there. It's Officer Davis's case. When I was out there.
When were you out there?
About 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
The fence was broke. I was down. The car was not working, and the windows were broken on the south side.
Okay. And did we have an inoperable and unlicensed vehicle on the premises?
Lincoln Continental, golden color.
And we still had broken windows?
Yes, sir, when I was out there 3 weeks ago.
Outside storage?
Yes, sir.
Broken exterior wall?
I didn't see that one, sir.
And that was as of 3 weeks ago?
3 weeks ago, correct.
Okay. What say Mr. Taco?
The fence was fixed about, I did it myself, and that was about 2 months ago, I told Ms. Davis. The window I just did this weekend, so that needs to, somebody needs to come out and check that. The only thing that's...
Did you call for an inspection?
No, because it said by the 6th or the 8th or something, so I just figured I had to show up here anyways. But I did that this weekend. The only thing I have left is the car, and I told you do the money issues and stuff. So this month my thing was to try to get the car licensed and then take it to Woody's. So it can start and run and stuff. But the fence, I put that up myself. That was done a couple months ago because I was able to do that. I did the window. The windows were done this weekend. I just need someone to come out and verify that. And the only thing I have left is the Lincoln.
So you're telling me the fence was repaired 2 months ago.
Yeah, about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
But you didn't call for inspection on that.
Well, I didn't. I figured when we were coming by for the other stuff, they would have seen that was...
But you never did the other stuff.
I did not.
So consequently,
call.
We're still waiting for the phone to ring.
Okay. I will call tomorrow and leave a message on Ms. Davis's phone.
Well, that may or may not help. I'm not done yet.
Okay.
So you still have the inoperable unlicensed vehicle on the premises as we speak?
Right. Because
and you tell me you fixed the windows this weekend?
This weekend was just fixed, yeah.
Okay, Mr. And according to our inspector, do we still have outside storage?
I don't know if the outside storage deal. I talked to Ms. Davis about that. She said there was. I mean, I have a thing outside in the front I do for pressure cleaning and stuff, and she said that was fine. There is.
And have we repaired the exterior wall?
Yes, the exterior wall has been fixed.
When was that fixed?
Like 2 months ago, a month and a half, 2 months ago. I did that myself. Because I already had the walls there. I just need to get mortar to fix everything up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought I explained before, I like to get everything fixed. It's just a money issue. So I got the big window fixed. I just need to get the car towed now for a price.
And your money issues wouldn't enable you to remove that car over the last 8 months?
Yeah, because it costs money to tow it. And I already owe Woody.
Well, this is getting ready to cost money, too. So let's be real clear now on what you're telling me is done. So what is left to be done as far as you're concerned?
Car.
I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing November 9 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or until the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000, whichever occurs first. I would suggest you ask for an inspection before you leave the building and then go mop up whatever's left to mop up.
Yeah,
because it's clicking
that
off at $100 a day.
I understand. It's my fault for not knowing, doing that part.
It's all right. We all live and learn. Good luck to you.
Thank
you. Case number 3, Carolyn Rickaney, or Rickaney. Yes, ma'am, if you would please state your name and be sworn.
Carolyn Rickaney.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
All right, let's hear from the city. What's the status of this property? And what is the fine that the city seeks?
Ms. Fickell, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Juan Davis. I met with Ms. Davis last week. She reports that the property remains in noncompliance. She asked for a fine of $200 per day to a maximum of $10,000. And she's given whatever additional updates to John Stinson, Mr. Stinson. And so attend to Mr. Stinson if you have any other questions concerning the status. However, the request is $200 per day to a maximum of $10,000.
What say Ms. Rickaney?
I have been trying. I'm doing this all on my own. The windows have been sealed.
The windows have been what?
Sealed.
Sealed?
Well, plastic over them for now. And some of them have wood on them. You can't see. Ms. Davis took that picture just the day before yesterday. At the front has wood on it now. That wood in the door is just to keep my dog in the house because I don't have a screen door. That's really what they. The lawn has been being maintained, and the windows were an issue. I mean, there were a few other things, and I explained the last time I was here that the property was in foreclosure, and we're doing a short sale. I don't know what takes so long. It's supposed to be a short sale, and it's been going on for months. I don't know what to say. What else is wrong? They say the windows and lawn.
Broken windows, exterior rotten wood, peeling and chipped paint, missing screens, roof and drainage system.
Okay, the roof, yeah. And the drainage system, meaning gutters, that fell off in the hurricane. And again, it's a money thing. Like I said, the windows have been done. The lawn's been maintained. She was.
When you say the windows are done, you talking about they're boarded up?
Not. They're not all boarded up. No. I got some really thick plastic from a neighbor who works for FPL and some nice tape and sealed them real well. And I have some boards. I can have try to find somebody to help me board them up if that's what you want. But like I said, the house is in short sale, and I don't want to put too much money into it because I'm not going to be getting much money. I asked for $1,000, and they keep refusing it. So we keep fighting back and forth because if I don't get that money, I can't move somewhere else. And if I have to pay fines, there goes that money. So I don't know what to do. I can't fix the roof. I don't have the money for that. I was forced into early retirement, and I have very little money. I don't have a job yet. So I've been working on the house, packing and whatnot. And I just want out of the house. So they have a buyer, and I don't know what takes so long to short sale. I don't get it. We started this over the summer. If I pay these fines, I won't have, when the house is sold, I won't have any money to move anywhere.
And right now, the only work that's being done on the house is being done by you?
Yeah, except a friend is coming over and doing the lawn once a week. And it's not too bad right now, but with the rain, and his truck broke down the other day. So, one thing after another.
This roof and drainage system, is that something that would require a contractor? I take it you're not going to be hiring any roofing contractors anytime soon.
No.
Okay.
I just want out of the house.
Mr. McCallaghan, I will say that the inspector did also note that if we recognize the dilemma, it's this has been going on since April. Of course, if it was to change hands, maybe it would be in a better condition, perhaps. We don't know that. But so we're not trying to thwart the short sale. It's just that we've been going since April. We don't know what else we can do at this point.
I can contact my realtor. I mean, he's got my number. He's, you know, I left messages. You know, call me, let me know what's going on. I haven't heard from him. So I imagine nothing's going on. I don't know. No. I guess, you know, like I said, I can't. You know, that roof damage and the drainage, the gutter came off with the hurricane, you know, and yeah, that first, that window now has boards on it in the front and the others are sealed temporarily. I don't have the money to put into it, like I said. I just, then if I have to pay these fines, I don't have money to move into another place. I just went out.
And I am being told by the inspector that the reference to the hurricane damage would be from the Matthew, not from Irma.
Well, there was a little from both. The windows were from Irma. The roof was from Matthew.
All right. I'm going to continue the imposition of the fine to our December 12, 2017 meeting. And by then, I'm hoping you're going to make some more progress on repairing a number of these items. I understand you telling me you're between a rock and a hard place, and now you're leaving me between a rock and a hard place. But in any event, so at the December 12th meeting, first off, you need to be here, or I will impose a fine right then and there. And then secondly, hopefully you'll be back here with some more information regarding your closing and or your new buyer. All right. And then in the interim, I'm expecting you to do anything and everything you can to bring this house into compliance. I'm not oblivious to the fact that you're telling me it's not going to happen, but I'm at least going to keep you in the house for a little while and ask you to do as much repair work to it as you can so that we can try to mollify this house's impact on your neighborhood. All right?
Yeah. Well, as far as the roof is concerned, I mean, we want to put a roof on it.
Okay. Let's focus on doing what we can. First off, taking the plywood down from the windows would be a big help. Maybe figuring out how to put some glass in there. Talk to your inspector about the things you can realistically expect to accomplish that might help the appearance of the house. as far as the neighborhood is concerned. And then at our December 12th meeting, you're going to bring me current on what's going on as far as whether you're going to be the owner of this house or if you've got a closing schedule. Okay? All right, ma'am. Good luck to you. Please do what you can. All right. Case number 4, GEAC Side Investments is in compliance.
I'm sorry. Ms. McCouch, before we do that, can we go to the very last case? And the reason I'm asking that is that we have a staff member that would be testifying who would like to be able to, if we can get her back out into the into planning and zoning.
Which case are you talking about?
Number 25, 312 Indigo Drive.
All right, then we will take Indigo Lakes Golf Club LP. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning, everyone.
Can you say your name, please?
Eddie Peterson, representative of Indigo Lakes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Failure to obtain proper permits for construction of stage. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Say again, sir.
Apparently you've been cited for failing to obtain proper permits for the construction of a stage. Do you agree that violation existed or occurred?
They say it had occurred. I wasn't aware of that. It was a violation. As soon as I was aware of that.
Well, you built a stage, I guess.
It was a temporary stage.
And you didn't get permits.
Didn't realize it was permits because I had a sound permit and a drawing that he had authorized and signed off on. And I went for 6 months. And then when we applied for another sound application permit with another drawing, we approved it again. We didn't think there was any issues with anything. And then they revoked the sound permit the second time. I have all the records of it. And once they revoked it, it was then made aware that there might be a violation of a stage, a temporary stage. And as soon as we found out about that violation, it was taken down immediately. And I have photos of the contractor when it was taken down and dated. We didn't even realize we were in a violation situation because this had went on for over 6 months with no issues whatsoever. And it was a temporary situation just for events, weddings, banquets, that sort of thing on the golf course.
All right, what say the city?
Ms. Vakalja, as you said, this is before you for compliance or non-compliance. Rose Askew is out of our zoning and planning division, and I would like to call Ms. Askew to update you on the status, but the position of the city is that it remains in non-compliance, and we're asking for next cutoff for him to come into compliance. But if Ms. Askew.
Morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Rose Askew.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Approximately 4 to 5 months ago, myself, Michael Garrett, who is the chief building official and code inspection officer, met with this gentleman downstairs in permits and licensing regarding the stage. We asked him to remove it. It was not removed. He continued to have events outside. Eventually, he ended up putting up additional things like railings, tables, and chairs, and all those types of things on the roof. We continually asked prior to citing him to remove them, and they were not removed. He continued to have activities. On October 10th, the gentleman here and the property owner came into our technical review team meeting with a proposed project to bring forward. At that time, we informed the property owner that they currently had violations because of the stage, the railing, and all of the things that were on the roof. We received an email from the property owner on October 12th stating those things were being removed. We even have pictures showing they were being removed. But as of about a week and a half ago, Mr. Sykes and I went out to the property. The tables, the chairs, the staging, the electrical portion for the stage, all of that is still there. It had not been removed. So unless it's just recently been removed within the last week and a half, all those things are still there.
And when was the respondent first notified of this? This goes back to October?
We actually met with this gentleman at least 4 to 5 months ago in the permits and licensing office with the chief building official.
And was there any discussion of the need for permits for the stage at that time?
Yes, there was, and I actually provided him with documentation letting him know that was considered a special event, gave him all the information for what he would need to do, but we explained to him that he was not going to be able to do it on the roof. It's not allowed. We gave him all that information was provided to him.
All right. Based on the testimony I've heard, I found the respondent to be in non-compliance. What is the relief the city's looking for?
Your Honor, I have some documents if you would like to review these, please.
Sure.
May I approach?
Absolutely.
Ms. Vickers, the city's requesting that cut off to come into compliance. It's being reported to me by the inspector that I think they're down to needing to remove the railing as of yesterday.
Okay,
and that was stated as so, but the railings have always been there. They weren't permitted long enough. The wooden railings were a hazard, so we had the railings replaced because those are pre-existing. We just don't need it at the top of the stage. All of it, we were unaware of any situation whatsoever. And as soon as we were made aware of it, is when we had taken it down and when they revoked the sound permit.
Okay, well, in any event, it sounds like we're all on our way to the fix anyway, so let's just get it done. All right. The city is suggesting you ought to be able to complete the removal of this stage by December 6th. What say you to that?
Yes, sir.
You'll have time to do that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by December 6th, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And if you have any questions about what compliance means, get together with your inspectors so we can be certain that we're all on the same page.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
Thank you.
And make sure you call for a final inspection.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks, sir.
Can we keep those for the record since you've given them?
Sure.
Do you need originals or copies, don't you?
Yeah, if you can make copies, I'd appreciate it. Well, keep these. Actually, you can have all of those. I'll just keep mine. And you can have the whole bills.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
sir. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
All right. Returning to where we were, GEA Seaside Investments case number 5 is in compliance. GEA Seaside Investments case number 6 is in compliance. That brings us down to GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated, 231 North Hollywood Avenue. Action to be taken. Impose fine if no application for permit submitted by 9-6-2017 determination of compliance date. Okay. Where are we on these?
Ms. McCall, if I may approach.
Absolutely.
These are highlights that updates that have been provided by Ms. Davis. On our status, I've met with her as well. She's met with Inspector John Stinson.
Did you provide counsel a copy of this?
Yes, I have. Okay. And I believe that they've been in communication as well.
All right.
And as you can see, you just called out one case is 4-5.
231 North Hollywood.
This is number 7.
Right, so case number 7, 231 North Hollywood.
Occupied. All right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, just as is indicating the requirement is that they failure to obtain a residential rental license. In this situation, we had some of these cases were requiring permits, and that's what was our time line. This is one where no permit was required, The property remains in non-compliance, and we're asking for 12-6-17 for the property to come into compliance. This is one where it simply needs a front step repair to be replaced, and GFIs and smoke detectors. So this is something we believe can be done by the next cutoff.
All right, we'll say the respondent to that.
What happened with this? This is Attorney Joel Osborne here for GEAC side. Good morning, Mr. Fugicek. What happened with this is a couple of these with Ms. Davis. She thought we would require a permit. After we talked with the GC, we found out that actually on a lot of these, we actually didn't need a permit. This is one of them where she thought at first we might need a permit, but after, you know, further inspection, we don't. We have no problem coming into compliance with this by 12-6-2017.
Okay. Is there anyone else here that wants to be heard with regard to GEA Seaside Investments? Very good. All right. I will... amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until December 6, 2017 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Next case, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated, 311 and 313 North Hollywood Avenue. Counsel, you're here for that one too, I presume.
Yes, Ron, I'm here for all.
Matter of fact, for the record, you're here appearing on all the GEA Seaside Investments cases.
Yes, Ron.
Very good. All right, now we're on 311 and 313 North Hollywood.
Yes, sir. This property, the circumstance is a little different. The general order was for these properties to, for the applicant, apply for permits and for the permits to be submitted by 9/16/2017. That was your general order for these cases. As we said in the prior case, no permit was actually required.
It was 9/6/2017.
I guess I read that funny. So in this case, however, Ms. Vickelder, the permits were necessary, and the permit was not applied for until 9/13 instead of 9/6. And so that aspect of this order is, well, was not in compliance. And so for that aspect of this order, the staff is asking for a $200 a day fine that would be for 7 days that they were in noncompliance, which would accrue to $1,400. Now, we acknowledge on that date that it was this period prior to the hurricanes, the offices were open, the city was open, and so, but that's the status.
Back up. Say that again now.
I said the city services were open, the city was open, but I realized what's the period at and around the hurricane.
Or was the city open on September 6th?
On September 6th, yes.
All right. Keep going. Anything else?
Other than that, what's remaining to be done are things that can be done by next call. So the inspector's requesting, as far as a compliance date, that the property be brought into compliance by next call. And that we maintain that the property not be rented until a permit is finalized and a rental case is in compliance.
How'd you arrive at your $200 per day?
Just the nature of the violation, the efforts to comply, and the egregiousness of the violation would be our points of consideration. This is a case that's been going on for quite some time. Was real clear on the things that were required. Again, I realized that there were reasons to make a phone call or something to see whether we would be open. This was the week prior to the hurricane weekend. However, we were open, we were available, we were able to accomplish what was necessary in terms of simply receiving an application for permit, and that did not happen on a date that was ordered. And so on that basis, we are asking for the fine.
Let's say the respondent.
Your Honor, this was, I don't remember if you remember, but this is one of the ones where we had asked for more than 30 days. We had asked for about 60 days to apply for these permits because we had had problems. After the city had said, you know, we didn't argue it. We agreed with the city and did the 30 days. After we had a contractor, there was a lot of these that they said we required permits for, where we had a GC, a licensed GC, look at it and say, no, this is ridiculous. We don't need a permit. For this one right here, we had contacted the GC immediately. He had had issues with the city saying, no, they don't need a permit. When it finally, you know, we finally did get the permit, he went in. But the reason
what do you
was
mean when you finally got the
when
permit?
We finally talked with him and said, we don't care if you don't feel you need the permit, because he kept telling us you don't need
so
a
back
permit.
Up. So you're telling me your contractor and the city were having a dispute as to whether a permit was required.
The GC was telling us that no permit was required.
But my point is there was a dispute.
There was a dispute. And there for a lot of these, even for the front step, if you notice case number 7, they said we'd require a permit. After further review, we didn't require a permit, and Guanjula agreed. We don't require a permit. There was a lot of these where they said we required a permit, but it was just patchwork. This was one of those cases. We contacted the GC. For about 2 weeks, the GC was saying, you don't need a permit for this. Eventually, I contacted them. I said, I don't care if you don't feel like we need a permit. We have an order from Special Magistrate for you to check. Just go get them. This was a week before the hurricane. He was, I mean, not only him, but my employer was going crazy with 40 properties trying to prepare them all. This was just, it was a mess. It was a couple days late. I don't agree that it was a week late we applied for them. It was about 2 or 3 days after the cutoff, and it was just due to confusion. Your Honor, we have been in compliance with everything. We've worked with the city on everything. We would ask you not to impose this fine. Because we were in, you were going to allow us more time when we initially agreed for it, asked for it, but we just relented with the city, you know, just to be amicable and to just try to work this out.
All right, well, it seems to me, and maybe my memory's a little vague, but it seems to me like there were a lot of extenuating circumstances that existed around the beginning of September of 2017, so I'm denying the request for the fine. I'm going to allow the response, and they're proposing December 6th to come into compliance.
That's fine, Your Honor.
Now, does that mean by December 6th we're done with this and everything's done?
We've already applied for, the permits have already been applied for. They were applied maybe.
I understand. Hang on a second.
That's a yes from it. Okay. I'm looking over at my inspector to get the nod, but yes, that's a yes.
Very good. All right, then I'll amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until December 6th, 2017, to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case number 9, GEAC Side Investments Incorporated, 216 Morningside Avenue.
Your Honor, there's three of these cases that are the exact same, where there were three permits that the GC told us that we did not need, which was right around the
hurricane. Hang on a second. Hang on a second. This is for here for the imposition of a fine. Counsel, you're up.
Ms. Vakelja, just as Ms. Osborne was saying, this is another one where we have the similar situation regarding the application for the fine, that it wasn't done timely as was ordered. Other than that, the things that are required for compliance, we believe, can be done by the next cutoff, and so we're asking for the next cutoff for them to be brought into compliance.
What say you to that?
We have no problem. We would just, you know, dispute the fine of these three. Where
right, again, for the same reasons, I'm going to deny the request for the fine at this time. And, of course, the respondent understands these properties can't be rented until they're in compliance.
Certainly.
And then with that, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until December 6, 2017, to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case number 10 is in compliance. Case number 11. GEAC Side Investments Incorporated, 509-511 Harvey.
Mr. Kelly, this is one where we needed a determination of a compliance date. The inspector, after having
completed the inspection. It's determined that the things that are necessary can be completed by the next cutoff, and it's requesting for compliance by the December cutoff date.
Okay, what say the respondent?
On this one, we actually are going to request a little bit more time. As she noticed, on a lot of these properties, we have windows dating back. You know, these houses are from the 1920s. She even notes, we have to do custom screens. We have to have a guy build us custom screens for all of these. So it's not like we're going to the Home Depot and buying screens for these windows. The code enforcement is requiring us to put screens on these windows to protect the tenants from bugs. But we have to have a guy come out and make each one of these handmade. It is not something that is done very quickly, so we would ask for 60 days to make these custom screens, and it's not just for one window. Every window needs a custom screen made for it.
What say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, what the city is looking for, the best, the most complete compliance on each one of these, if that's going to make it more complete and the best repair, then the city's willing to not oppose the additional time.
All right. And we have yet to even have a determination as to noncompliance on this case?
No, I believe it's been found noncompliance. There just wasn't
a compliance date. Okay.
Yeah, I believe what we were waiting for was the inspections to determine what it would take to comply.
All right. Then I will order the respondent to come into compliance by January 3, 2018. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 12, GEAC Side Investments Incorporated, 232 North Peninsula Drive. What say the city?
Ms. McAlder, based on the inspection that was completed on October 22nd, the inspector reports that the nature of the violations are such that
obtained permit by December 6, compliance by January 3.
Yes. That's the request.
What say the respondent?
Your Honor, I talked to Ms. Davis, and we had initially agreed at 90 days. After she'd spoken with her supervisor, she came back with a different day. I'd hope the city would just let us cut it down the middle. We were looking for 90. They're looking for 30. If we could do a 60 days like the other one, and the only reason we're asking is the custom screen.
Well, that's what they've asked.
Oh, I thought they said 5/12 compliance date.
Obtained permit by December 6th.
Your Honor, I apologize. We have no problem with that. We would ask that we could obtain the permit by 1/3/2017 as well, because we've had a lot of problems with the permitting.
18.
So you're going you want to extend the
we have no problem
issuance of the permit to the same date you're supposed to be in compliance?
On second thought, Your Honor, we have no objection.
We have no objection to any of this.
We are fine with this. We can apply for the permit by...
All right, I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondent obtain whatever permits are required by December 6, 2017, and the property be in compliance by January 3, 2018. Failing either of those requirements, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
What permit... I'll talk with the city about what permit is needed on this.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe there was a little confusion. That's what I halted for because I saw that she said no permit.
And then it says no permit required, so I'm actually kind of confused.
But the inspector clarified it for me. What's the permits that are needed are for the railings. So where needs the rails, you're going to need permits. And so those permits, we're asking for you to have that those obtained by December, and then we can be in compliance by January.
We have no problem with that, Your Honor. I apologize. I was a little confused.
Custom screens needed.
But we're doing the cutoff date for that for January 3rd, right? For the custom screens. That's for the whole thing.
Case number 13, GEAC Side Investments Incorporated, 236 North Peninsula Drive. Inspection completed, non-life safety issues, custom screens needed, GFIs and smoke detectors, minor soffit board replaced, no permit required. They're suggesting December 6 for you to come into compliance. Are you going to tell me this custom screen thing is going to require that you have additional time?
We would just request the January 3rd, 2018, so we could do the custom screens.
What say the city?
That's fine, Mr. Kelty. Once again, as long as it's the best and the most complete repairs necessary for this property, we would love to see that done.
All right, and once again, this is one of these cases in which we are lacking a compliance date?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. On number 13, yes, lacking a compliance date. And, again, the whole question of whether or not permits were necessary, if indeed then we would have been asking for fine, but or if they weren't obtained. But in this situation, there are no permits necessary. So the only issue was compliance, and we're saying that we were saying that compliance can be done by next month. We understand the custom screen question, especially with the holidays, and so we do not have any objections to the January date.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by January 3, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 14, GEAC Site Investments Incorporated, 308 North Peninsula Drive.
Mr. Vakalja, we appreciate the progress that's been made up to this point. You know, it's a little concerning that we pushed all, at least five cases back. However, aren't we? Oh, something happened?
Yes.
No, we're not on number. Oh, you were switched. Okay, 320. Let me back up and correct. I'm being informed by my. This is. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, which one did you announce?
14. 308 North Peninsula Drive.
My fault.
Your notes say occupied, inspection completed 8/22/17. Non-life safety issues.
Yes, sir.
Custom screens needed.
Yes, sir.
GFIs and smoke detectors. No permit required. And you were looking, you were shooting for December 6, 2017.
That's correct, Mr. Vakalja. And again, I would anticipate that the request is going to be on the custom screening for that additional time. We understand that. We are, as I said, disconcerted that we have that number of cases pushed back. I just want to make sure that.
Feel free to blame me. To
press. I'm sorry?
Feel free to blame me.
Yes, sir.
Seems like a reasonable request, and it seems like the respondent's making a concerted effort to bring all these things into compliance.
I understand.
If you know anything to the different, let me know.
No, not at all. We just want to make sure that he recognizes that we are concerned. We want to make sure it's all done.
Absolutely.
We appreciate this, and we will get all of these into compliance. We have really put in work to get all of these into compliance.
In order that the respondent come into compliance by January 3, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 15, GEAC Site Investments Incorporated, 320 North Peninsula Drive. Oh, I'm sorry, that's in compliance. Thank you. And case number 16 is in compliance. So I believe that's it for Mr. GEAC Site Investments Incorporated.
How's it doing? Okay.
Very good. All right. Good luck to you. Case number 16 is in compliance. Brings us to case number 17, Seneca Land Trust, care of Osprey Foundation Trustee. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. McKelty, the inspector is Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that the property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for a $200 a day fine to a maximum of $15,000. Plus the $250 administrative fee for the
not for no business tax receipt.
All right. Noting the absence of our respondent based upon the city's presentation, I'm finding the respondent the sum of $200 per day, commencing November 9, 2017, and continuing each day thereafter until the property, and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. I'm further ordering that the respondent pay the $250 administrative fee for, what is that for, the business tax receipt?
Yeah, correct.
No business tax receipt.
Okay. Very good. Case number 18 is in compliance. Case number 19, Terry Tehiram Sitaram and BBN Sitaram. Morning. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Can you state your name, please, sir?
Sarah Sarah.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Sitaram, you're before us for the imposition of a fine. So let's hear what the city has to say and why they think I should be fining you, or the city should be fining you, rather.
As you indicate, Mr. LeCalder, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that this property remains in non-compliance, that this violation was the violations were complaint-driven. As you can see, it's rental property. And Mr. Stinson reports that there's been no progress at all, or very, very little progress, even as of yesterday. And so his request is for a fine, and this has been since June 24th. The notification has been since June 24th. So Mr. Stinson is requesting a $200 per day fine for a maximum of $15,000 plus the $250 administrative fee for no business tax receipt.
When was Mr. Stinson out there?
And I would attend to Mr. Stinson.
Good morning, John Stinson, Code Inspector of the City, qualifications are on file. My last inspection of the property was yesterday. All of the issues on the side of the property.
So those photos were taken?
These particular photos were taken
since June 21st.
June 21st.
All right. And so what has changed between now, between then and now?
The junk vehicle that was in the rear has been removed. There still remains outside storage on the back side and the front of the property. There has been an application. I've been in contact with the property owner. He's been having some issues back and forth with getting things done, and some of his work is being run off, but I'll let you tell him about that. Let him tell you about that. But ultimately, all the violations still exist except for the junk vehicle.
Okay. What say Mr. Sitaram?
Your Honor, first to begin with, I was not having this when this all started. The separation divorce issue that we have in court, I did not live at the address where the violation was coming to. I just happened to bump into the violation sitting in a garage. And I appeared the last court day. I was actually sitting here, and my wife was here, and she decided to appear and didn't make a pretty picture. But every time I try to go do work there, she comes in there, the people have been run off to do work. So I had to actually get enforcement with a police report that we filed against her to stop her to enter the property. I did clean up the yard in the back, remove all the junk vehicles. I've been in contact with the inspector consistently. I call him and let him know my progress that I'm making. Rented a truck, remove all the debris that was on there as he requested, apply for the rental license. However, with the new development of the city, they're requiring a four-car carport before they issue the rental license. So I have to get a general contractor to go there and do that.
on a constant basis, there's a tenant that lives in the front.
Hold it. Time out. So the man has to build a four-car carport in order to come into compliance?
That requirement is coming from permission licensing in order for him to meet the standard for a rental property. The code enforcement side has nothing to do with that particular requirement.
But if he wants a rental license for this, why a four-car carport?
That's what I told him.
Mr. Calder, I do have Charles Bryant here from Redevelopment Management, and I believe Mr. Bryant can speak to that. And I'm sure it has to do with the number of units and such, but.
Good morning.
Charles Bryant, Redevelopment Project Manager.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Good morning. As far as him having to build a four-car garage, that's not true. He has to have either asphalt or concrete driveway in order to park the vehicles on the property to get a license for that property, but not, he doesn't have to build a garage. That's not the case. I think he's misunderstanding that.
So you're just looking for him to have an improved surface to park on?
Yes. And I reviewed this particular request, I think, and that was my comments that he had to have the driveway and that it would be approved based upon all the other things that he needed to do to come into compliance. But that was just one aspect of it, that he does have a concrete or paved surface to park the vehicles.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So where does that leave us as far as this violation is concerned? Failure to obtain business tax receipt, failure to obtain required residential rental license. What I'm hearing is he's not going to get a license until he's made these improvements. So I guess I understand the man needs to come into compliance, and I'll deal with that. But as far as I'm talking about storage, junk vehicles, roof, this, that, and what have you. Is the house presently occupied?
I have to look to Mr. Stinson.
Yes, sir, it is occupied.
Then he's got to obtain a rental license.
And the nature of the occupancy, how many units is it? The owner says he's going to be moving into the rear, so it would be three units, two up front, one in the back.
Three rental units and one?
Two rental units.
Two rental units
and
plus the
owner occupied. So that he would still meet that criteria, so he'd still be good.
Okay. All right, Mr. Sitaram.
Sir, there's only two units on the property. There's one that's occupied now, and I would be occupying the second one. There would not be a third unit on the property. It's just a duplex.
Well, what I'm hearing added to the mix is, given the fact that you are, in fact, using this as a rental property, you are going to require a residential rental license. And then I just heard that in order to obtain that residential license, at a minimum, it sounds as though you're going to have to put in a concrete driveway.
Your Honor, I am willing to put in the concrete driveway. Of course, there's a little bit of issues with fund and timing. I don't have a problem in compliance with the city. I am part of developing the city of Daytona Beach. And whatever needs to be in compliance, I want to be in compliance. There's no question about that. However, I had setbacks with handling this violation. And I actually have a police report here from where I had spots removed from the property and stuff, any kind of work being done. And I've been in constant contact with the inspector. However, the tenant in front, every once in a while, he'll put his lawnmowers up front and then remove it back. That's been a daily battle. That's part of the stuff. But as far as the junk, the yard area, I have cleaned everything up really nice, cut all the grasses, the bushes, all that stuff. It looks beautiful back here. Mm-hmm. and this is within a week. It's cost me quite a bit. I already paid for the, you know, the rental license. I already did the application. I paid for it already. So I'm doing whatever it takes to get it done. I just need some time to get it done. That's all I'm asking for.
How long is it going to take to put in a concrete driveway? I mean, apparently there's more to compliance here than just the outside storage, the junk vehicles, and the dilapidated roof.
There's nobody occupying the property where the roof is, needs to go up there. It's vacant.
Mr. Raquel, the inspector is telling me that it would probably take about 60 days with getting the permits and accomplishing the task.
And when did you learn that you needed to put in a driveway?
The day that I applied for it. I got a phone call, I think either the same day or the day after. Yes.
You were supposed to come into compliance by November 8th, and on November 7th you applied for your license, and then you were told you needed to build a driveway.
Your Honor, I was unable to perform any work on the property. I have a police report here that I had police over there on the 25th.
The inspector says it should take you about 60 days to put in a driveway. What say you to that? Pardon? The inspector says it should take you about 60 days to put in that driveway. Does that sound about right to you?
Yes, it does. I will make every effort to get it done.
All right, I'm going to amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until January 3, 2018 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Is the city interested in any interim orders regarding junk, outside storage, what have you? Or has the place been cleaned up?
The city would just ask that the property is reasonably maintained throughout this process. He said if all the outside storage has been removed, I'll go out there to verify that later on. And as long as we're...
Okay, I'm going to further order that within 7 days, all outside storage and junk vehicles will be removed. Very good. If the inspector should... Anyway... Should the respondent fail to comply, that will be another basis for returning him here for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. So, the good news is, well, I don't know if you want to call any of this good news. You're getting additional time. You know you have to build your driveway. I want as much of this violation taken care of. You tell me you've taken care of the storage and the junk vehicles. Fine. You just want to make sure that happens. Because if he drives by 8 days from now and sees outside storage or junk vehicles, then you'll get fined. All right. I haven't heard much conversation about the dilapidated roof. Now, I just discovered the driveway, which has cost me 60 days here now. What's the story on this dilapidated roof?
It's fascia board, Your Honor.
So it's nothing that can't be fixed within 60 days?
Correct, correct. It's just fascia.
Very good. Very good. All right. Good luck to you. Here you go. You can have that back. Case number 20, Gershom P. Brown, Lizzie S. Brown, Robert E. Owens, and Takesha R. Plain. Yes, ma'am, if you would please state your name and be sworn.
Lizzie Brown.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Brown, let's hear from the city as far as why they think you should be fined.
Mr. Kelder, this has been...
Off-street parking in front yard.
Yes, this has been going on since June, or at least June 27th, the end of June. It's a simple fix, a simple remedy. This needs to put in the driveway. They haven't done that up to this point. The inspector's requesting a fine be imposed of $75 per day to a maximum of $10,000.
Okay, I'm seeing a lot of cars on a lot of grass. What? How much driveway is going to cure that? Just a second.
John Stinson, code inspector with the city. The majority of the vehicles have been removed.
Okay.
However, her dilemma now is, as she'll explain to you, is financed with the... with the driveway, it's going to cost us some money to get it done.
Well, she can finance a driveway or she can pay fines. I'd go for the driveway myself.
I'm going for the driveway.
Okay. Okay, I'm still not clear. Okay, looking at this picture, where's the driveway that's needed?
Where's the
Mr. Stinson, where's the driveway that you're talking about that's needed?
Well, the actual driveway is there on your left, on your right, as you can see. However, she has more than... her vehicles will fill that driveway. Plus, she doesn't have enough room for all the vehicles. That driveway just doesn't accommodate it. So
what is the driveway that's going to fix the problem?
She is in talks with the contractors, and they are going to come up with some plan. I don't know what the plan is going to be in order to create more driveway space. That issue is probably going to be addressed when the permit process goes through. But as of right now, the original picture that you saw with all the cars, that's not going to be permitted. So as of right now, she's blocked off where that parking was occurring, but she still has to solve her parking problem.
Well, I guess the driveway is the cure for an excessive number of vehicles that are being parked on the grass right now.
Correct.
As opposed to somewhere else. So she's got more cars than she's got house.
That's correct.
All right. Okay, what say Ms. Brown?
Okay. With the cars, I don't have the cars. They're just the two. There's a Suzuki and a Chevy pickup truck.
Okay, and do they both fit on the driveway?
No, they can fit on the driveway, but my tail end will be out where that white line at. It'll come out to the city property. Right there with the line. I parked behind the truck.
Isn't that a carport at the end of the driveway?
Where?
Did you enclose your carport?
It's a screen, no. It's a carport. It's going to let up, but it's just a screen over the carport. It's a screen over it. You know, like you make a fat screen and put over your
so you enclosed your carport. And
no.
Now you don't have room for your cars?
I don't have but the two cars there.
Right.
All the other cars that you see there is not there anymore.
Okay.
I don't did the compliance that he wanted me to do. That only thing that I was just letting him know that I was thinking about, go ahead and make another driveway, but it's still going to be in front of the house on the lawn. But I was parking right here. I parked here. So because I don't want to be hanging out in the road, he told me I can park in the driveway. So ain't no other vehicle but two. The truck, Chevy truck and the Suzuki. The two vehicles is there. And the property is so small.
The property is small because you enclosed your carport. Am I missing something?
No, it ain't enclosed. It was called, but I have my other stuff inside my garage.
So you're using your garage for storage,
yeah.
And now your cars don't fit on the driveway.
Right.
So what do you want the city to do about that?
Is this, if I've been there for so many years and stuff, and then my neighbor called and complained, so I guess they get the city to harass me about my car is on the, they see the cars on the driveway, I mean, say in the yard. So I also keep the lawn clean where the city property, my line don't go but so far, but I keep all that clean which the city don't come out and clean up and do anything. So only thing I can say is try my best to try to continue trying to get a driveway put there. But I'm disabled and I can't afford it right now, but they charge a lot to get out and try to put another driveway in.
Ms. McKelvey, if I can say, she mentions that the cars have been moved. However, those pictures are, as of yesterday, as you can note in the bottom corner.
Yeah, because when I come the first time, they was removed. When I come here to the meeting, I had to remove the cars. No, but the two vehicles, this vehicle and my vehicle. I drive this, the Suzuki. My husband drives the truck, the Chevy truck, the Silverado truck. So, and my property don't go but so far, so ain't no really. And I try to keep it clean. I just cut the yard, I cut the lawn. I should just cut where my property at and leave all the grass out. On the outside.
What driveway is she going to be able to build that's going to cure this? Is she going to install hang on a second. Is she going to install a circular driveway or something?
Okay. These pictures are showing, I don't know what's behind up front on that driveway. I don't know if that's a carport, a car enclosure, a garage. I couldn't tell you that. However, where that car is parked on the left is in the front yard.
Right.
It's on the side of the road.
Right.
From the side of city property, right there. Where I'm parked right
well,
here.
Well, it's parked in your grass. What's supposed to be grass?
That's the city property. I'm off of my property. I'm on the city property.
I'm standing on the double yellow line taking that picture right now.
I've got a picture here on my phone to show you where my line is.
Okay.
My gate is pointed off. So it's really a big problem here concerning this yard.
I just need to step to the microphone.
Does somebody here have a solution they want to propose other than me just throwing a $75 a day fine out there?
Well, this I guess one point of
and that goes for you too, Ms. Brown. I'm not hearing any solutions out of you either, so
I
don't want the city thinking I'm picking on them.
Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to figure where this goes, or do I just drop a fine out there knowing it's going to run ad infinitum?
I guess the problem is probably we need to clarify a little better remedy. From the city's perspective, it's not that. Our remedy is that she get a driveway. That's what she wants to do, get a driveway. The city's remedy is she just stop parking in the yard.
Oh, in the yard.
Yeah. And I mean, she has the driveway there where she can have this car sitting, and it's sitting in the yard. If she can not park in the yard, she can comply.
I don't understand why she's down to two cars. Two cars can't fit on that driveway right there.
That's what it would look like.
Longer than...
Okay, well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, you have to speak in the microphone, please. Thank you.
Well, here's what I'm going to do.
because because of my neighbor called and put the citizen harassed me for what? Because my property is so small in the front, and it goes to a certain limit there, and I'm still out on city property when I park behind the truck.
Well, here's what I'm going to do.
Property.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and fine you. I'm going to fine you starting January 3, 2018, the sum of $50 per day. I put that off till January 3 of 2018 so that you can try to figure something out. It's not the city's job to figure it out for you. They've been gracious. They've been gracious enough. But at some point, they have to enforce their laws. You're not allowed to park on the grass, and you're not allowed to park on the street. So you either find a way to make that driveway work, or you get together with somebody and get some plans and figure out what you can build out there that will work.
Okay.
But my point is, all I'm doing is buying you an additional 30 days to figure this out.
Okay, but can I put a driveway right in front of my house there? Because
I don't know how to answer that for you.
Extend the driveway.
That's a conversation you're going to have to come down here and have with the city. And I'm sure they'll help you try to figure something out if it's within their powers. But you're just going to have to do it.
I've been calling and asking questions.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked to them on the phone.
Okay.
Been talking to everyone. I called him several times.
All right. Well, you need to come down here. You need to sit down with somebody. You probably need to pull out a survey of your property and collectively scratch your heads and figure this out. Because you're not going to be allowed to park on the grass. You're not going to be allowed to park in the street. You've got a driveway there. If that's not going to work, then you're the property owner. You need to figure out the alternatives.
And I'll just park in the driveway and let it hang out in the road because I can't do no better. And
I think you can do better. I think it's just going to require you putting a little effort into it.
I'm serious about this.
Mr. Sykes said he would get with
you. I'm parking my driveway and just let the vehicle hang out. I'm in the driveway, so that's completed when you're driving.
You're not going to hear me tell you to do that.
I feel that it's complete when you park in the driveway like he wanted me to. He told me to park in the driveway, so I'm going to park in the driveway. That's the way I see it.
If you need to modify your driveway, you need to modify your driveway or get rid of a car.
It's modified already.
All right.
Because the driveway is there, so I'm not saying I have to do it. Just
well, if you're not going to get together with the city and you're not going to figure it out with them, then what's going to happen on January 4 is you're going to start collecting the city's going to start collecting $50 a day.
By me parking in my driveway?
By you not bringing your property into compliance, because right now you've got more cars than you do driveway.
He's convinced.
You're not going to figure it out here. I'm not going to be able to tell you how to redesign your driveway. You're going to have to come down here and meet with somebody at the city and figure it out.
Okay, I guess I have to get the person too.
All right. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you. Right here.
Oh. Case number 21, Kinsey and Debbie Whaley.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
My name is Kenzie Whaley.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. I believe we are just here for the determination of a compliance date. Does the city have a compliance date it wishes to propose?
Mr. Kelty, the city is proposing next cutoff. Permits will apply for on 9/27. So we're recommending next cutoff for them to come into compliance.
All right, Mr. Whaley, the next cutoff date is January 3, 2018. The city is suggesting you ought to be able to come into compliance by then. What say you to that?
No chance.
No chance. All right, why is that?
For one, I've already got half the windows ordered. I've got them in-house. The other half of the windows haven't been ordered yet. They're a three to four week delivery time on there, a custom windows to fit.
Okay.
The stairwell in the back has got to be done. With the list of stuff they've got, when we were here last month, you were under the, you were saying it probably would take me 6 months to get done everything that they have that they're asking me to get done. If that's I've got rotten wood that's got to be replaced. I've got some termite damaged wood that's got to be replaced on the house, some of the siding. But the back stairs has got to be replaced. I've got contractors supposed to be coming out to see me to give me an estimate on getting that taken care of. We just got the permit this past week.
And when did you apply for that permit?
27th of September.
All right, and how much time are you saying it will take you to come into compliance?
I'm saying anywhere from 4 to 6 months with everything that they're wanting me to do. I may be able to get it done in 90 days, but I don't want to be sitting there with a fine on me because it hadn't all been completed at that
time. Are you a contractor?
Sir?
Are you a contractor?
I've been in the window business for 15 years. I've got a contractor who's already pulled the permit for it.
Okay.
And I'm working with him.
Mr. Whaley, this is the minutes of the last meeting. Mr. Whaley stated once they obtain the permit, it will take approximately 60 to 90 days to make all the repairs. Have you gotten your permit yet?
I just got it this past week.
You got it this past week?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let me ask the city, what do you base your belief that the matters can be all these matters can be brought into compliance by January 3 upon? I'm sorry, December 6th upon.
Excuse me. Good morning again, John Simpson, Code Inspector with the city. This case started as a tenant complaint. And that was back on 8-2-2017. Since then, on every re-inspection I've gone back to there has been little to nothing done. The latest inspection resulted in a stop work order because he actually did begin to do some work. Unfortunately, he didn't get any permits before he started to do the work. The simple length of time that this case has already been going, there should have been a lot more progress achieved by now. So that is why we're asking for a minimum compliance date of next cutoff.
And when was the last time you were out to see the property?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay. All right, I'm going to continue the determination of a compliance date until the December 12 meeting. And at that point in time, that's another month down the road, you should have a clearer picture as to when you'll be able to come into compliance, and hopefully you'll have a lot of work done between now and then. And our inspector will be reporting back what you have done between now and then. And I'm hoping he's going to report back that he's happy or pleased with what you've done or what you've accomplished in the interim. Because if he doesn't tell me that, then I might not be very generous with whatever time I do finally establish as far as the compliance date goes.
Yes, sir.
We good?
Okay.
Good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Case number 22, Land Trust 552, Fairmount, care of trustee, T-R-S-T-E, L-L-C, as trustee. I don't see how you could have gotten the word trust in there more than that. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr.
Mr. Kelter, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that this arose as a tenant complaint remains in noncompliance. He's asking for a $200 day fine to a maximum of $15,000 plus the $250 admin fee for failure to obtain the business tax receipt.
That's $200 a day to a maximum of what now? Has any work been done on this property?
No, sir. Nothing. No contact.
It's quite a list.
Yes, sir.
And nothing's been done?
No, it has not.
And it's occupied?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm going to find the respondent, the sum of $200 per day, commencing November 9, 2017, and continuing, and the fine will continue to accrue until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first, and further ordering the respondent to pay the $250 administrative fee for his for its business tax receipt. Does that take care of that?
Yes, yes, sir.
Case number 23, Richard F. Dugan, Jr. and Joan Dugan. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Ms. McKelter, this is before you on determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Tom Klieg, and Mr. Klieg reports that the property was in noncompliance, and it's now in compliance. Would like for you to make that finding.
Okay, based upon the presentation of the city, noting the absence of the respondent, I find that the respondent was in noncompliance, and further find now that the respondent has now come into compliance. Am I supposed to be putting a will fine?
Yes, sir.
And I will further order that for every future occurrence or future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for a consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. All right, I think we did case 24.
We can just one more time ask to see if the lien review too is here.
Okay, is anyone here on behalf of
Mr. Copeland?
Amazing Grace ARNP Solo 501K Trust, care of Grace Pedersen. As trustee. Okay. It's a lien review. Am I denying it or am I just ignoring it? Do whatever the city wants. They didn't show up.
Supervisor is requesting that it be denied.
Denied. It's already been denied. Okay. All right. Then that, I believe, concludes all of our items. We have a miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate. Nope.
No, sir.
And we're adjourned.